Welcome to Timeless Treasures from God's Word, a preaching ministry of the late Reverend Howard E. Tucker, former pastor of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, whose radio ministry was heard for many years on KDKA every Sunday night. Voiced by his son Timothy, we hope these messages will inspire and challenge you and bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior. Now, here's Tim.
It's always a joy to know that you're out there listening to our programs, and we appreciate so much you taking the time to study God's Word with us. And we'd like to share a message tonight entitled, What the Bible Teaches About Christ as King, a message my father gave on the radio some years ago, and he was a graduate of Wheaton College and Dallas Theological Seminary. And you can listen to other programs that we've done by taking your smartphone or computer, and in the search bar, just type in Timeless Treasures from God's Word. Well, all over the world, Christians join each Palm Sunday to commemorate the triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the nation Israel. At that time in history, the Jews were subject to the Roman Empire. Most of their Old Testament promises were unfulfilled. Their religion was a series of outward formal ceremonies with little spiritual power, and their only hope was for their promised deliverer to come, their Messiah, the Christ. What happened when he did come is put very sadly in a few words in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The hosannas of Palm Sunday changed in 5 days to the crucify him of Good Friday. Such is the character of a fickle mob. Such is the result of sin. Such is even religion apart from the divine Christ. But the question, whether it be around AD 33 or even in our year, it still remains to be answered. If you reject Christ, to whom will you turn? Let's see in 6 different ways what the Bible has to say about Christ as King. Number 1, the Old Testament prophesied Christ as King. Over 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, the Davidic covenant was given by God in 2 Samuel 7 to assure Israel of the descendant of David who would come and whose kingdom would be established forever. Quite a full description of the king and the kingdom is given in the prophetical books, as for instance in passages like Isaiah 11 and Jeremiah 33. The exact prophecy which was fulfilled on that first Palm Sunday was Zechariah 9:9, which said, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king comes unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. God's chosen people of the Old Testament, the Jews, had all these promises, and their only hope as a conquered people was in their fulfillment. What a sad commentary on merely having a religious system in which spiritual blindness prevents one from recognizing the answer to one's needs. Secondly, Christ was born as a king. Prior to the birth of Christ in the Annunciation to Mary in Luke 1:30-33, the Davidic covenant was confirmed when God had the angel Gabriel say to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. After the birth of Christ, when the wise men came to Jerusalem, they said in Matthew 2:2, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This demonstrated that the prophecies concerning the coming King of the Jews were known in other countries as well as in the nation Israel. When King Herod asked the leaders of the Jews where Christ was to be born, they turned to Micah 5:2 and said in Matthew 2:5-6, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The wise men worshipped him and gave him kingly gifts, and wise men have been doing the same thing down through the centuries ever since. Thirdly, Christ offered himself as a king. The first Palm Sunday was Christ's official and final offer of himself as king to the leaders of Israel. All of the four Gospels record his triumphal entry into Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9. The people received him gladly, but the religious leaders never did. John 12, verse 13 says, "The people took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord.'" But John 12, verse 19 says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him.'" Matthew 21:15 says the chief priests and scribes were sore displeased, very displeased. Oh, the responsibility of religious leaders who do not believe when many of their followers do believe, and how true this is today as well. Fourthly, Christ was rejected as a king. In the so-called trial before Pilate, that travesty of justice, Christ is called the King of the Jews in all the four gospel accounts. And finally, in John 19:14, Pilate presents him to the Jews by saying, "Behold your king." Then verse 15 says, "But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' They hated Caesar, but they chose him rather than the Son of God." Oh, the blindness of unbelief. The fickle crowd that 5 days before had cried their hosannas now joined in the cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why do some today want to be pleasingly popular with the crowd, no matter how low their standards, instead of wanting to please the Lord? The fifth is Christ died as a king. The four Gospels record the fact that on the cross his title was listed as the King of the Jews, and this was in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, that all might know. Matthew 27:42-43 tell us they mocked him by saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Because he was king and because he was the Son of God, he stayed there on the cross voluntarily to provide an eternal salvation for you and for me. And the sixth point here is that Christ is coming again as king. His followers could not understand that the cross must come before the crown. Many prophecies were fulfilled in minute detail at his first coming, and those prophecies concerning the king and the kingdom which were unfulfilled then will be fulfilled at his second coming. When Israel rejected him as king, they rejected the kingdom, but it has simply been postponed and will be established when he comes again. After his resurrection, when he appeared unto the two on the way to Emmaus, before they recognized him, they said to him in Luke 24:21, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." They were thinking of being freed from the yoke of Rome, but they used the right word when they said redeemed, because that is exactly what he did on the cross, not only for believing Jews, but also for believing Gentiles. Prior to his ascension, his disciples asked him in Acts 1:6, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He answered in verses 7 and 8, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." When he decides that our witness has been completed, he will return as a king. Revelation 17:14 calls him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Revelation 19:16 calls him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Philippians 2:9-11 reminds us that God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation 11:15 says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." No wonder the hymn writer says triumphantly, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run, his kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more." Yes, Christ was prophesied as a king, born as a king, offered as a king, rejected as a king, died as a king, and is coming again as a king. The poet puts it this way: in a manger, a stranger, yet a star of matchless glory heralded the royal story. As promised, he is born a king, on a tree, one of three. But the cross becomes a throne, whence he sways our hearts alone. His offer rejected, he dies a king, victorious, all glorious, swaying the scepter of infinite power, waiting and hasting the advent hour. He lives and comes again a king. George II of England attended for the first time a rendering of Handel's Messiah, and when the Hallelujah chorus began, every eye was upon him. He rose to his feet in honor of a greater king than any earthly one, and everyone followed his example, the custom that continues today. I wonder tonight, if you have made Christ king of your life, do you know him as your Savior and Lord? He died in your place on the cross and offers us eternal salvation to you if you'll place your faith in him. Then you can make him Lord of your life and let him reign and rule supreme. He is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. If you have never done so before, receive him now as your personal Savior, and you'll be able to sing with assurance those wonderful lines: when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing, Hallelujah, what a Savior. If you are a believer in Christ, then praise him that he is your Savior, and be sure that you have made him Lord of all in your life. If you never have received Christ as your personal Savior, why not come to Jesus right now? Admit to God that you're a sinner. Repent. Turn away from your sins to follow Christ, believing he died for you on the cross and shed his precious blood for you so your sins could be forgiven. He took all your sins on the cross with him. Then believe that he rose again from the dead in complete victory. Won't you please, at this moment, ask Christ to be your Lord and your Savior.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope and pray this message was a blessing to you. You may receive a free written copy by emailing us at tptuck51@gmail.com or by calling 412-337-3858. Our mailing address is Timeless Treasures from God's Word, 147 Crescent Garden Drive, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15235. Please join us next week at this time over this fine radio station, Word FM. Till then, walk with the Lord in the light of His Word.